Next to the massive Tobin Bridge that looms over Chelsea is the Mary O'Malley State Park, a large waterfront park perfect for a picnic on a warm summer day, or, in this case, an unseasonably sunny winter afternoon. But look around. The park has power plants and smokestacks surrounding it across the water on every side. And because of Chelsea's proximity to Logan Airport, a relaxing stroll can be interrupted by takeoffs every few minutes. That's oil pumping through pipes of a power plant right near the entrance of the park. Only a mile away, children are riding their scooters and playing on the playground.
My two-year-old has lived in Chelsea pretty much her whole life. And so she has now been diagnosed with asthma. You know, while I can't totally point to one cause, I definitely see the connection between her experience with air quality versus my six-year-old, who we were not living in Chelsea. We were living in a place that had a lot more green space.
Maria Belen Power grew up in post-revolution Nicaragua, where class and race clashed. Now, she is the Associate Executive Director of Green Roots Chelsea, a community organization striving to improve the urban environment and public health of the city.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you were to ask me why is Chelsea suffering from environmental injustice, I would say it's directly connected to race and class. It's not a coincidence that we have the industries, that we have the air quality, that is connected to the fact that we are a low-income community, a community of immigrants, a community of color, a community of non-English speakers.
Chelsea is a frontline community, and they experience public health challenges related to these industrial and environmental hazards.
That's Leila Hidari, a third-year PhD student in Boston University's Environmental Health Department. She says 24% of residents live below the federal poverty level, and the city is rich in diversity. 35 languages are spoken, and 73% of residents identify as a racial or ethnic minority.
Chelsea contains storage for 100% of Logan's jet fuel, 70 to 80% of the Northeast region's heating fuel, road salt for all of Massachusetts.
The amount of industry packed into this densely populated city is concerning. So Hidari is conducting a 2.5-year project in partnership with Green Roots to respond to extreme heat exposure in Chelsea.
Often it's referred to as a silent killer, and it's actually the most deadly weather-related phenomenon.
Hidari says between 1971 and 2000, there were only 11 days per year over 90 degrees. And now we will face 40 such days by 2030 in the next decade, a fourfold increase.
There are definitely some groups that are more vulnerable to the health effects of heat than others, the very young and older adults.
Kathleen Lee is a biology teacher at Phoenix Charter Academy, Chelsea. There have been many hot days when the air conditioning has not worked in her classroom.
They couldn't think, or they wouldn't be able to stay in the room for a long time. They would have to leave. They would leave school early, or they would just refuse to come. And depending on where they're working, that's another possibility of exposure to heat as well.
These factors lead back to the socioeconomic infrastructure of the city.
They don't have the same distribution of tree canopy cover and greenness. And that makes a big difference for how you experience heat in the context of the urban heat island effect.
Hidari hopes to create resiliency plans, such as subsidizing air conditioners or plotting more green space.
There's definitely a lot of hope.
Hidari's project is in full swing, and by 2021, her team aims to analyze data and create plans for intervention. For WTBU, I'm Antonia DiBianchi.